Today, seeking shelter in troubled times. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics from the latest post covering finance and property news, and this is our weekly market update. Well, as I've warned, October can be a fickle month on the markets, and it's proving to see so again. Growing volatility in US stocks is driving a search for defensive assets, though investors may have fewer places to hide this time around. On Friday, global stock markets, including those in the US and Europe, experienced declines due to rising Treasury yields, which reached a 16-year high, and the potential escalation of the Israel-Hamas conflict. The Pan-European Stoxx 600 Index lost 1.36%, and the MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe shed 1.1%. Emerging market stocks lost 0.53%. MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares closed 0.6% lower, while Japan's Nikkei 225 lost 0.54%. So, wherever you look, losses everywhere. On Friday, US President Biden said he planned to ask Congress for another $74 billion US dollars to fund the war in Ukraine and the Middle East. And Fed speak is not helping either. While other Fed officials have hinted that the tightening cycle could be at an end, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's comments on Thursday underscored possible further interest rate hikes driven by the robust US economy, strong retail sales, and tight labor markets. In a Bloomberg TV interview, Mohammed El-Arian took Federal Reserve policymakers to task, saying the US economy is seeing a period of greater uncertainty because of a lack of vision from Fed officials. You can't drive a car without some understanding of what the road ahead looks like. You can't just look at the rearview mirror and try to adjust for every curve you just had, he said. That is not how you drive policy, and it's certainly not how you drive policy when the impact of policy happens with a lag, he said. This is the first Fed I know that has not gotten it. And in the note, Bank of America said, Fed commentary has all but confirmed that the Fed will stay on hold in November. We shift the last rate hike in our forecast out to December. We think the strong September data will keep another rate hike in play, but it's a close call. There are meaningful risks that the Fed will either delay the last hike into 2024 or not hike again. Investor sentiment is quite negative, and we believe it's important to zoom out and focus on the long term, even the intermediate term, and a lot of this will fall by the wayside, said Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst at Baird. There's not enough attention being paid to company earnings, which have been coming in strong and guidance has been solid, he added. Investors will be wise to pay attention to that as much as the macro events and the geopolitical tensions. On Thursday, the yield on the 10-year US Treasury note, that's the bedrock of the global financial system, was briefly above 5% for the first time since July 2007, touching 5.001%. While the benchmark yield eased back later from that level, it posted its largest weekly surge since April 2022, and the 30-year bond last rose in price to 5.078% from 5.102% late on Thursday. And with a 2-year in similar territory, such a flat yield curve is a sign of uncertainty, with some questioning whether the bond market has become unanchored or whether the big US bond issuance in play currently has moved the markets or whether it simply reflects a risk premium. The MOVE index, which measures expected volatility in US treasuries, stands near a 4-month high. All three major US stock indices extended their losses as the session progressed, with interest rate sensitive tech and technology related mega caps pulling the Nasdaq down around 1.5%. Third quarter earnings season did hit full stride, with 86 companies in the S&P 500 reporting, and of those, 78% delivered results above expectations. But in the end, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.86% to 32,127. The S&P 500 lost 1.26% to 4,224. And the Nasdaq dropped 1.53% to 12,983. Wall Street's most closely watched measure of investor nervousness The volatility index on Friday hit its highest level for nearly 7 months at 21.71. Energy stocks, including EQT Corporation, Halliburton Company, and APA Corporation, were pressurized by a fall in oil prices despite those ongoing tensions in the Middle East, which threatened to disrupt oil production in the region. And Schlumberger was down 2%, also weighing on the sector, after the oil field services company reported mixed quarterly results as revenue missed analyst expectations. And a weaker than expected earnings report from Tesla this week also darkened the mood. American Express Company reported quarterly results that beat on both the top and bottom lines, but its shares fell more than 4% amid concerns about tougher conditions ahead. And Regional Financial Corporation's third quarter results fell short of Wall Street's estimates, sending its shares down 13%. The regional bank outlook has also been a concern for investors, with Evercore ISI saying the negative outlook was likely pressurized by weaker net interest margin, funding costs, and rising credit pressure. The regional banking index was down to 39.10, territory last visited back in the crisis back in May. Knight-Swift Transportation narrowed its full-year earnings guidance that topped estimates after reporting better-than-expected quarter two results, though. The earnings beat points to signs of a bottom nearing in the freight industry, according to Goldman Sachs, which lifted its price target on the company to $55 from $53. And Hewlett Packard shares fell more than 6% after the company dropped its EPS earnings estimates for 2024. The greenback was nominally lower against a basket of world currencies. The index fell 0.08%, with the euro up 0.13% to 1.0593, but the dollar briefly touched the closely watched 150 level against the Japanese yen on Friday before ending at 149.85 a dollar, while sterling was last trading at 1.2164, up 0.17% on the day. Oil prices turned modestly lower but notched their second straight weekly gain as the potential escalation of the Middle Eastern crisis stoked supply concerns. US crude slightly fell to settle at $88.37 a barrel, while Brent settled at $92.44 a barrel, up 0.13% on the day. Gold extended its advance, nearing the key $2,000 per ounce level as those geopolitical tensions enhanced the metal's safe haven appeal. The futures were last at $1,992.95, up 0.64% on the day, and around 9% higher since the last crisis broke. The market's reaction to these developments underscores the sensitivity of global markets to changes in US monetary policy and geopolitical events more widely. Investors will continue to watch very closely the Federal Reserve's signals on interest rates and the evolving geopolitical landscapes in the coming weeks. Assets that can help investors weather the storm actually may be in short supply. Equity sectors such as utilities and consumer staples, popular with nervous investors when markets grow choppy, have been swept up in the latest S&P 500's declines. And that's left investors piling into other traditional safe haven assets such as the dollar and gold, as well as short-term debt. Nevertheless, it's no doubt a challenging environment for well-diversified portfolios, said Angelo Koukouafas, senior investment strategist Edward Jones of Treasuries. He said, "We have this safe haven asset class that is not necessarily at the moment getting any bid or providing much safety from the volatility of the headlines. Safe haven assets have not performed as expected in response to conflicting global growth and elevated geopolitical tensions," analyst at UBS Global Wealth Management wrote on Friday. Investors still have some portfolio hedges. Prices for gold have soared over 8% since the conflict between Israel and Hamas broke out this month. And in currencies, the Swiss franc, a long-standing safe haven asset, stands near its highest level against the euro since 2015. And the dollar is up 5% in the last 3 months. Some investors are moving to short-term treasuries or money market funds, which are providing more attractive returns since interest rates began rising earlier last year. There are certainly plenty of investors who, at 5% plus rates on completely liquid treasury bills, are willing to park them there while they wait some clarity on inflation and on the economy, said Rick Meckler, partner at Cherry Lane Investments. And US money market funds have seen $640 billion in inflows this year. To buffer against bond market volatility, UBS analysts say they preferred 5-year durations relative to 10 years to earn yield and to mitigate the risk that 10-year yields continue to rise. And they also recommended hedging against a widening conflict in the Middle East by taking out long futures positions on Brent crude oil. Geopolitical uncertainties, climbing bond yields, and the risk of more losses in stocks means investors face fresh uncertainties, they wrote. Over in Europe, poor corporate earnings resulted in a 2-week low for the Stoxx 600, with declines also seen in Germany's DAX, France's CAC 40, and Britain's FTSE. The London Stock Exchange experienced significant systems outage on Thursday, October the 19th, resulting in trading halts for several shares, predominantly smaller equities. The disruption was widely shared via a video on social media on Friday. The LSE Group is currently investigating the incident. In their final update on the day, LSE confirmed that there would be no further continuous trading for the affected securities, and they also promised updates on the closing auction status of impacted stocks. As of Friday morning, only stocks on the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 250 and international order books were available for trading amidst this disruption. This incident mirrors past outages at the LSE back in 2019 and in June 2018 due to software faults. And the LSE manages various international markets, including the equity market, fixed income market, exchange-traded funds and products, and foreign exchange markets. Now, more broadly, recent economic data does not bode well for Europe. The Eurozone economy is expected to contract in the third quarter and not return to significant growth for some time. Despite having avoided a recession following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Eurozone is struggling with several problems: rising energy prices, high financing costs, and falling demand in export markets such as China are straining the region's economy. The Europe economy is currently going through a difficult phase of, let's call it, stalling. According to the Flash Composite Purchase and Managers Index for the Eurozone, composed by S&P Global and considered a reliable indicator of overall economic health, we are below 50 points with a reading of 47.1. This is a worrying figure that signals a negative economic condition in the region. The manufacturing sector continues to be the main obstacle, with a steady worsening order situation. And due to high financing costs affecting the disposable income of indebted consumers, many are reducing their spending. And this is also reflected in the index of new businesses in the service sector, which fell to 46.4 from 46.7, reaching its lowest level since February 2021. According to S&P Global, the two largest countries in the area led the decline in economic activity. Although the crisis is easing in Germany, the situation is worsening in France, and it's well known that the German manufacturing sector has been going through a difficult period recently. The French economy has suffered a setback, with both the services and manufacturing sectors deteriorating since November 2020. Weak demand has been observed across the country, and confidence for the next 12 months has declined significantly. Elsewhere, public debt in Italy is very high, is having a negative impact on bond yields, affecting debt costs. With a debt-to-GDP ratio of 140, Moody's currently ranks Italy at Baa3, just one notch above junk, with a negative outlook. Asian markets, including Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index, China's Shanghai Composite, Japan's Nikkei 225, Australia's ASX 200 and New Zealand's New Zealand 50 index all ended lower on Friday, and Singapore's FTSE Straits Times index fell 0.7%, and South Korea's KOSPI fell 1.7%. Among the key losers were ENN Energy Holdings in Hong Kong, which dropped by 4.8%, and Tawai Yuran in Japan, which fell 4.2%. Other companies facing losses included Shenzhou International Group and Mitsubishi Chemicals Group and Baidu and Ricoh. Despite the overall downward trends, gains were seen in certain sectors. Orient Overseas International in Hong Kong rose 2.9%, while Daiichi Sankyo in Japan surged impressively by 14.4%. Impex Corp saw a 2.2% increase, and Yokohama Rubber rose by 1.8%. In the real estate sector, property management firm Country Garden Services and real estate services company New World Development all saw increases of 2.5% and 2.1% respectively, but whilst that may indicate some resilience amid the general market downturn, they're still way off previous valuations, reflecting the ongoing risks in the property sector across China. The ASX 200 fell 1.2% on Friday to 6,900.7 as investors worried about conflicts in the Middle East and Ukraine, with the interest rates on US 10-year government bonds briefly topping 5% on Friday. The fall took the market to its worst week in five, with a 2.13% loss across the week. People are taking some risk off the table, said Luke McMillan of OPA Asset Management. There's a number of scenarios how the Middle East plays out to worry about. Higher bond yields are weighing on markets, and so far US reporting season has been pretty slow going, while here AGM season has seen a lot of downgrades, he said. The only share market sector higher on Friday was energy, which added 0.2%, thanks to higher benchmark crude prices. A ground invasion of Gaza, particularly if it proves lengthy, risks opening up multiple fronts in the Israeli-Hamas war, said Commonwealth Bank commodity strategist Vivek Dhar. There is even the risk that Iran is drawn into the conflict more directly, which would likely see Brent oil futures trade above $100 a barrel. Iran's involvement in any conflict with Israel is a key risk for oil markets, especially given the nation's control of the Strait of Hormuz. Gold also climbed over the trading day and set an Australian gold price record high of $3,150 an ounce, though closed lower. And the Australian dollar edged 0.2% lower through Friday afternoon to buy 63.12 cents. Gold's move meant local miners dominated the share market's leaderboard, with Evolution Mining climbing 2.2% to $3.68 and Northern Star rising 1.3% to $12.13. The materials sector lost 1.3% following a 31.2% collapse for lithium darling Liontown Resources after it raised $376 million at $1.80 per share to dampen sentiment. Other lithium producers, including Mineral Resources and Allkem, dropped 2.4% and 3.9% in sympathy. Arguably, Liontown might have fallen even more if they didn't do the capitalised raise after Albemarle pulled its bid, said McMillan. The most interesting thing is Gina Rinehart bought a lot of stock to block Albemarle deal, but if you look at the short interest, it was around 13%. So the inference is the hedge funds came out of this pretty good and Gina not so good. Elsewhere, shares in financial advice and platform business Insignia Financial fell 12.8% to 204 after the group said its chief executive will leave the business in February. And banks were low, with CBA down 1.03%, ANZ down 1.4%, NAB was down 1.61%, and Westpac was down 1.37%, and Macquarie was weaker too at 161.59, down 1.53%. And finally, the global cryptocurrency market saw a significant surge on Friday, buoyed by optimism surrounding potential Bitcoin ETF approvals and comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. Bitcoin, the largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, rose by 3.3%, trade at 29,705. Its one-day trading volume and market cap increased by 24.88% and 3.13% respectively. This surge in Bitcoin's price contributed to its dominance of the global crypto market, which stood at 51.47%. Ethereum, the second largest cryptocurrency, gained 2.23% and was trading at $1,604.60. The volume of Ethereum traded over the past 24 hours rose by 10.73%. And other major cryptocurrencies such as XRP and Solana also experienced growth, with increases of 7.05% and 9.81% respectively. The total global crypto capital market capitalization surged by 2.97% to reach $1.11 trillion, while the global crypto market volume saw by 3.77%. But despite these notable gains, the overall market sentiment remains neutral with a fear and greed index reading of 49. These movements in the crypto market highlights the impact of external factors such as regulatory developments and macroeconomic statements on digital asset prices. Next week, the drama will continue with the US September quarter gross domestic product out on Thursday. It's tipped to come at around 4.1% on an annualized rate, while in Australia we get headline consumer price index inflation data for the September quarter, and it's forecast to slow to 5.3% year on year versus 6% in the June quarter. And if you stand back, you can see uncertainty everywhere. This is going to continue for some time yet, and certainly I still think equity markets are significantly overvalued based on where things are. It's clear to me that the bond market will continue to maintain its volatile status with some potential continued upside to yields potentially. And of course, the Fed will come out quite soon with its next rate decision. There is still significant risk of more upside, but frankly, if rates don't go high from this point, the rates are pretty high relative to where they've been, so high for longer could well be enough to strangle many potential markets. That means investors need to be very cautious and careful, although, as I said through this conversation today, the number of safe havens are being whipped off the table significantly. So the question is there anywhere to hide? Well, possibly not. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.